Best case scenario is we have a Super Bowl ad. It's fully scaled up. We've got this beautiful Learn directory that's curated with, you know, a one-stop shop that we can send friends and family to when they're curious and ready to start learning about Bitcoin.
What's your soft spot for middle-class families, and how do you think what you're doing at Bitcoin is Better specifically reaches and engages those people?
50, 100 years from now, people are going to look back and be like, wow, so many people were working and they didn't even know the denominator of their money.
It all makes no sense unless the only thing that you think is viable is the fiat system.
Throughout the middle class is that, hey, you've missed the boat. Bitcoin today is $73,000 per coin. So it almost feels like you're too late, but that's not the truth.
Hey everyone, Michael here with the Bitcoin Way podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Today on the show, I have Daniel Hirschberger of Bitcoin is Better. They are doing amazing work with the goal of getting a Bitcoin-only high signal ad in the Super Bowl. We talk about how it works, where your sats go. You can vote on different ads. So many cool things that they are engaging in the space. Enjoy my chat with Daniel. Hey everyone, like I said in the intro, I have Daniel here with me. Daniel, welcome to the Bitcoin Way podcast.
Michael, great to finally meet you face to face and excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad Adam Semeca connected us. Very excited for this conversation. I think what you're working on here, and I know, by the way, this is like a volunteer role for you, but it's a very important thing that you're working on sort of in the Bitcoin space. And it doesn't sound like a back burner item for you. I imagine this is taking a lot of time, but why don't you just give some context, explain to people what is Bitcoin is Better and why should they be excited about what you're doing?
Yeah. So Bitcoin is Better. It's a very broad statement because in my opinion, Bitcoin is Better means something different to everyone. So the purpose of the nonprofit is really to help middle-class families see themselves within the Bitcoin story. So then once you see yourself inside the Bitcoin story of why it is better to you, then you adopt it and build that firm foundation economically on Bitcoin, which we are still so early to this adoption phase, but the common myth throughout the middle class is that, hey, you've missed the boat. Bitcoin today is $73,000 per coin. So it almost feels like you're too late, but that's not the truth. So yeah, with the nonprofit, the idea came about in about 2022. The Super Bowl ads came on and we had Matt Damon, you know, pitching, you know, crypto.com, and Tom Brady, you know, was partnering up with Sam Bankman-Fried. And I just watched those commercials and I was like, man, there's so many people that are just going to get rugged by these celebrities pushing crypto. And of course, putting a little bit of Bitcoin in there, you know, just a little sprinkle of truth. But I was like, man, there just needs to be like a unified message of why Bitcoin exists, why it matters, helping people ask better questions about money. So that they can understand why Bitcoin exists and get in early for themselves and their family. So the nonprofit started in 2023. I wrote a book, Bitcoin is Better, Natural Money That Works for the Working Class, to basically polish up my thoughts for the nonprofit, like the five main areas that Bitcoin is Better has like changed the way that I view the world and how it's made money, economics, politics, property, and health better, and is making it better. So I broke it down into five chapters, but like I said, it's such a broad statement. Bitcoin is Better really means something different to each person. So the book was launched, the nonprofit was filed. It took us about 9 months to actually get approved for our 501c3 status. That was during the Biden administration. So I'm sure we hit some keywords somewhere, you know, so the administrative headache was a little bit more than anticipated. But yeah, we're rocking and rolling now. Last month, we launched our TV ads and Learn directory. So that's up and running. We've got 7 ads so far that we're crowdfunding. So I encourage people to check out bitcoinisbetter.org. If one of the ads connects with you, feel free to throw some sats at it and help us to get it out. But we have other plans as well to increase distribution. We've really just kickstarted this thing as an all-volunteer board. But we're opening up what's called our guild to get more of the Bitcoin community involved and get people to, you know, help us build this vision of just having a unified like signal message of why Bitcoin exists and helping middle class families adopt Bitcoin.
That's awesome. So I feel like was it 2 years ago that we first saw the Coinbase ad in the Super Bowl, or was that further back? I remember I know I was in Bitcoin at the time. And I remember thinking at the time, I was kind of earlier on my journey, and I remember thinking, this is exciting, like it's going mainstream. I was probably like still buying on Coinbase at the time or something. And then I guess there were more last year, and it was like just hard to watch. it's so sad. The further down the Bitcoin rabbit hole you go and you see, you know, FTX and Coinbase sort of taking airtime for crypto. So what's the hope here? Is the hope to have a Super Bowl ad? Is the hope to just broadly distribute this across mainstream outlets, you know, network television? Where do you see these ads playing out?
Yes. And I mean, a hat tip to Coinbase. They've put out some really solid Bitcoin ads.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. In more recent days. Yeah.
More recent days that are amazing. But it's like, where does that traffic go? Yeah. And when you enter Coinbase, it's a casino. It's turned into a casino instead of focusing on Bitcoin. So yeah, the idea, the big stretch goal for the organization is to put together a Super Bowl ad. And we've actually just recently partnered up with the Bitcoin Marketing Association, and they have a similar vision as us. They're a 501c6 organization, I believe, which is like a trade organization, nonprofit. But their original idea was to send traffic to bitcoinisbetter.com and make it like a Got Milk commercial, where it's like, you know, Got Bitcoin or Beef, It's What's for Dinner. So just brand neutral and send traffic to a website. And then we met up and like we were a little bit further along as far as ready to go to production. But now we're going to be kind of like teaming up. So we've got bitcoinisbetter.com and bitcoinisbetter.org. But the idea is like, you can't really run a Got Milk commercial for Bitcoin, because as soon as somebody goes to YouTube and types in Bitcoin, they're going to get like captured by all of these algorithms that are going to take them to crypto and other types of scams. So the idea is to send traffic to a board curated, brand neutral learn directory with the best Bitcoin resources for people to begin their learning journey. So yeah, that's the idea of like how the ads platform and the learn directory are, you know, working together and complementary.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I think the Bitcoin way is in there as well for self-custody. So I hope everyone checks it out. So I think it's something people are going to want to know, because whenever you have, I think people are rightfully skeptical of, I mean, certainly anyone collecting money and maybe increasingly of nonprofits. How does like the flow of sats work? So if I go on your site and I see an ad that I say, this is one I really like, I want to support this, I'd love to see this on, you know, a major news outlet or a major media outlet, and I contribute, right? And actually, by the way, I did just a couple of hours ago, I contributed to one of the ads. Does Bitcoin is Better, you know, retain a small portion of that, like a fee basically? Does the creator earn anything? Does what happens if it doesn't go, you know, and it's not voted on enough to actually get airtime? How does all of that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the donation breakdown is basically 80% goes to distribution of the ad, 10% goes to the creator of the ad, and then 10% is retained by the nonprofit to keep the lights on for administrative costs.
Right.
So we have a board of 12 board members, Bitcoin only board members. And yeah, so there's transparency that comes with that. We have Joe Wood from Satoshi Pacioli. He's our treasurer. So he handles, you know, the finances of the organization, and each week each month we meet as an organization and make sure that funds are responsibly handled. But yeah, that's a great question, because yeah, nonprofit has almost become like slang word for scam, you know, the last couple of years. Especially up in Minnesota, right?
yeah, that's right. Well, I think it is an important question. What I will say is that knowing some of the folks on your team, I have complete confidence because I have personal relationships. Obviously not everyone does. I couldn't rattle off what you would typically see in a nonprofit. My impression though is that 80% actually going to the cause, to the purpose, is incredibly good. And people have to realize that there is overhead with running something like this, and it's not to pay volunteers, obviously, it's to pay to keep the lights on. It's to make sure the website is functioning. Outreach, I imagine there's marketing that you want to do, those sorts of things, because you can only receive ads and have an effective game plan if people know that you exist and are incentivized in some way to do something and to spend time and invest energy and put in proof of work into creating something that they think could potentially be shown on live television. Where have been, you said, I think that there are 7 ads right now on the site. Where have those come from? Are those people who you just, because this launched relatively recently, are those people who you knew and you sort of primed for, hey, we want to get some content up there, so when we go live, people have options? Or are those people who heard about you after you launched and said, this is awesome, I want to do this? What's been the source of content so far?
Yeah, so far we have bootstrapped as a board. So 6 of the ads I created, okay. 1 of the ads Adam created, Adam Semeca. Mm-hmm. The idea behind that, neither of us have a film background, but we both, you know, are very passionate about Bitcoin. So we're like, okay, these new AI tools are coming out. This is like 5 or 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. We're like, let's put together just some, you know, 30-second and 60-second ads and see what we can come up with these AI tools. So we did that. We went through a few iterations of the ads, you know, based on board feedback. And the idea was just to get launched. You know, this isn't like the final product that's ready for the Super Bowl, but this is the idea, the vision that we have. So we're hoping that inspires people in the Bitcoin community who are more creative than us, you know, have a background in film, to put together some really, really moving stories that plant those seeds in people's minds that get them curious about Bitcoin, which leads to a desire for education. But yeah, the idea is crowdfunding and crowdsourcing of these videos. But also we're going to be opening up a new venue as well for Bitcoin whales who have a vision in their mind that they want to share with middle class families about why Bitcoin exists. And then partnering that Bitcoin whale with a production team to actually like put that into a 30-second or a 60-second ad, and the whale can push it out. We could probably supplement it with some crowdfunding as well. So that's going to be another venue, and just, there's a lot of moving parts to it, but we're kind of learning as we go and figuring out, you know, what works best. And to answer your question before moving on about the funds, because I think it's really important. So we pick a monthly winner, to actually push out, all of the videos that don't win. Eventually we're going to drop them off of the platform at some cadence, you know, 2 to 3 months. And then those funds are going to go into like optimized alternative media campaigns, where the Bitcoin Marketing Association is going to help us, you know, with Instagram ads, YouTube ads, you know, banner ads. But we're going to take those funds and you know, put them into other forms of media, which may show like a higher ROI, because ultimately our KPI that we're really striving for is number of learners per month.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're optimizing for.
That's fantastic. And I really can't overstate my opinion that all of those things that you're talking about are really important. I know there are a lot of people, when they donate or contribute in any capacity to a nonprofit, they want to know that their money went to, you know, this place around the world that they're trying to fund. That is obviously the most important at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if it's your sats that go there. What matters is that your sats help drive the machine that enable that activity to take place. And sometimes that is marketing. You know, we run a business at the Bitcoin Way, and we have an unbelievable service. Doesn't matter if no one knows about us. And that's just part of what we have to do. It's why we do the podcast. It's why we do marketing. It's why we do all sorts of things. So I hope that your numbers are, I think, very compelling, but I hope that doesn't discourage anyone, the fact that some of this isn't going directly to getting a Super Bowl ad produced. So I like this concept of Bitcoin whales funding production teams, because I am, unfortunately, I'm not a Bitcoin whale. I haven't been around long enough, wasn't stacking hard enough in my early days. It's given me freedom, but not immense riches. However, I think that there are people who are still on this mission that you're on, that I'm on, who have stacked a lot of sats over the last decade, you know, decade and a half. Are you helping to orchestrate the production teams? Like, are there people, you know, or is that the Bitcoin Marketing Association, where they've got incredibly talented folks who can work with AI, who have the cameras, the equipment, whatever they need in order to produce these ads? And it's more just a matter of finding the interested investors, matching them up with people who, you know, are going to do good work, and making it come together?
Yeah, I would say more of the latter. So thankfully we had Terrence Michael join our board last week, and
Okay.
he has a background in film. So for those of your listeners who may not be familiar with him, he wrote the book Proof of Money. But if you look at his Wikipedia, he's got, quite the track record in Hollywood making and producing film.
I didn't know that.
He's cool dude. Yeah, you should look into
Fantastic.
his background. But yeah, so Terrence is great. He's bringing a lot of direction as far as like how to build those teams out in the right way. I had an interview this week with a guy who reached out about the Guild, who has a video editing background, and he's going to put together an ad and get board feedback on it. So it's really just like as volunteers reach out to create ads, like the cream will rise to the crop, and we'll kind of like develop our own team of sorts. And put that together, like I said, with Terrence. And there's another guy named Jordan. He has a film background as well. He's starred in a few films, and I just met him over the last couple of weeks with the launch as well. And he's interested in getting involved and helping us up our video creation skills. So yeah, I'm just confident that when the time is right, when the Lord's timing's right, the team's going to be there. But we're just kind of putting the vision out as a nonprofit and trusting that, the right people will come at the right time.
Yeah, I think that time is coming. It's just a matter of getting enough people aware of what's going on and why they should do it. I would also add that Bitcoiners spend a lot of time trying to orange pill their friends and family to no avail. You're just it's too close to home. People don't want to imagine that you were right about something and that they didn't get it and that they kicked the can for so long. The moment I think a third party can intervene with an interesting catchy ad, a resource, a website where they can go learn sort of on their own time at their own pace. It just opens the door for better conversations. Because I know, like for my family, I think they probably think I'm the only Bitcoiner in the world and that I'm the only one who's screeching about all this stuff. When in reality, we're hopefully very close to a Super Bowl ad just about Bitcoin, not about a crypto casino launching and the whole world being awakened to the notion that this is really happening and that there is something to be paying attention to. So I love that. You mentioned on your website in many places that this is largely about helping middle class families. The ads to me make a lot of sense for that. Obviously, if people are watching TV at night, that's going to be a lot of middle class families. What's your soft spot for middle class families, and how do you think what you're doing at Bitcoin is Better specifically reaches and engages those people?
So I grew up in a working class family. My dad worked in a factory, and my mom is a nurse. I would say growing up that way created a soft spot. And then also, I'm a Christian, so I read the Bible, and especially Proverbs is very heavy on the consequences of oppressing the poor, stealing from the poor. And with inflation being intentional the way it is, I view that as like one of the greatest justice issues of our time. And Bitcoin is a tool for economic justice, because I think that if Joe the plumber, if his boss gave him a 7% pay cut every year, Joe the plumber would be pretty upset. Or if Joe the plumber's congressman voted for a 7% tax increase every year, Joe the plumber would be upset. But somehow, the Fed can print 7% more dollars each year and dilute Joe the plumber's paycheck, and he's not even aware of it. So I just think the subtlety, the stealthiness of intentional inflation is something worth I don't know, asking questions about. And then for me, I've ultimately found Bitcoin to be the better tool, and that's why I support Bitcoin with my economic energy. And yeah, I think that it has the opportunity to change the world more, like as much as AI, or if not more than AI, because just think about like all the economic consequences of money gaining value over time. So if your money bought more each year, how is that going to change how you invest your time, how you think about your work? Like, so many things change when money grows in value over time. So it's just a big idea that most people haven't wrestled with. And same with you, Michael. It's like, yeah, family and friends sometimes are the toughest.
Yeah, I like the way you frame that, though, is if they voted every year on a 7% tax increase, if your employer paid you 7% less every year, and the answer was, well, you just need to invest better. Like, that's kind of the obvious solution, is you just need to, we need the S&P 500 to go up more than that 7%. People would be screeching about it, and they would never stand for it. The hurdle to overcome there, of course, is that they don't advertise 7% M2 inflation, and most people wouldn't know what that meant anyway. They advertise, well, we're about at target, we're close to 2%, and most people don't understand that 2% versus 3% is a 50% increase. And so 3% sounds close enough. You know, it's only 1% off when really it's a 50% difference. So it's a huge educational gap. I'm always curious, Daniel. You said that friends and family are one of the tougher, one of the sticking points for Bitcoiners. Have you had any success with your friends and family? Like, when you talk to loved ones, are they on board Bitcoin? Are they not? What's the status?
So at first, when Bitcoin first clicked for me, like, I would just talk about it for like an hour and like see faces glazing over, and, you know, I just felt like I was being annoying. So that was, really? Yeah. You can relate. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to write a book. They'll know I'm really serious about this if I write a book. So I wrote a book, and my brother read it. He had great feedback. You know, he got a little Bitcoin as well after it. But I still have family members like who haven't. Thankfully, I mean, my dad read the book, and then after that, he started saving in Bitcoin. So I was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah. If you can affect the habits of your father, I think that's a good signal that you're saying some of the right things, you're making sense. That's fantastic. The other thing, it's so funny that what I think is going to be the most powerful orange pilling tool, and I think, again, not everything you're working on is incredibly important, it's actually the interactions with in everyday life that are going to fundamentally change people's opinions. Because my wife and I are expecting our fourth baby this summer, and we're upgrading her car because we just don't have room for four in what she currently drives. And so we're going through this process of trying to figure this out. Like right now at this moment, we might go after I finish recording, I might be going to pick up a new car. We'll see. And they don't accept Bitcoin at the car dealership. And so we're trying to figure out, okay, do we wire? Do we need to get money moved into our checking account, write a check? All right, we're like sorting all this stuff out. And there are all of these delays. And if you want to do a wire, well, you've got to sign off. You've got all of these moving parts. And I told my wife, I said, do you, because she's a Bitcoiner by proxy, I guess you could say. And so she has to listen to me explain these things and why it's so important. But I said, if he could just send me a QR code, if the guy at the dealership could just send me a QR code, he could be paid in 10 minutes. And we don't have to worry about the fact that the weekend's almost here. We don't have to do any paperwork. He can verify it right then and there. I can see that I no longer have access to those funds, and we're done. And I told a story, I don't know if I told it on a podcast or one of our Bitcoin banter segments, but my sister-in-law had an issue with a contractor who needed to be paid very quickly. And she was, her bank doesn't have traditional checking account services. So she couldn't pull out enough cash. She couldn't pull out any cash. She can just go to the ATM for, you know, $200 or $400 a day or something like that. And she needed several thousand dollars. And she was going to have to open a checking account at another bank, initiate a permissioned transfer to that bank. And then they have a 30-day waiting period to withdraw that much cash, because you're a new client. We don't know you yet. We need to, you know, there's all these approvals that need to happen for us if we wanted to expedite that, but we probably can't. I don't even know what their internal rules are, but it's these sorts of everyday examples that I think really awaken people to that. So as I'm thinking about what you're working on, I'm kind of rambling here, but as I think about what you're working on, it's those everyday stories that if we can articulate those in a medium like an ad that reaches many, 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 many millions of people, potentially, just to have that awakening moment where they realize how insane it is that they have to sign off on everything. They have to wait. There are holding periods. Oh, it's a bank holiday. It's the weekend. I have to rush this because of this or that. And oh, never mind, I'm gonna have to wait anyways. It all makes no sense unless the only thing that you think is viable is the fiat system. The moment you have any understanding of Bitcoin, any understanding of Bitcoin at all, and then you have to jump through those hoops, you think this is absolutely insane. It makes no sense. So I'm hopeful maybe those are some of the stories that can emerge from these ads. I'm curious if I watched a couple of the ads. And I didn't think I got through all of them, but are any of those the sorts of stories or ads that you envision could be a part of this?
Yeah, 100%. And like the metaphor that was coming to mind as you were telling that story is almost like back in, I don't know, the early 1900s when people were, you know, horse and buggy going down the dirt road, and then their neighbor comes by, you know, on a Model A or whatnot, right? Yeah. And until you see that neighbor pass you, like, you're probably going to be very skeptical of motorized vehicles. And so I think that there's going to be like time that takes time. And like you said, you can't pay with Bitcoin right now at a dealership, but if you could, and you had this story or like somebody was with you and saw how much easier it was, I think that that's going to be when it clicks, that you don't have to live in this fiat system, that technology has evolved beyond that. But for me too, it's like the ease of transactions over Lightning is a game changer, and Cash App, you know, doing what they've done and with Square terminals, I think that's a huge move forward in adoption. And I think that that's a big friction pain point, but also I think that 50, 100 years from now, people are going to look back and be like, wow, so many people were working and they didn't even know the denominator of their money. It's right. Like, why would you work for a money and you don't even know how much exists or how much is going to exist 10 years from now? And I just think that that's going to be like historically, like, what were people thinking? Like, why didn't they adopt Bitcoin sooner? But like you said, look, like once it clicks, once you experience it, once you send your first Bitcoin transaction, like, this is dumb. Like, why are we still living this way? There's a much better way.
Yeah. It's just, people need to have that experience. Like I think I tweeted about it. I said, hopefully this is my sister-in-law's awakening to Bitcoin, because I told her, I said, first of all, it's not money. Second of all, they don't have it. And third, it's not yours. This is why you need Bitcoin. So I'm hoping maybe she starts to ask some more questions. My brother is a bit more on board. So they've got a little bit of Bitcoin, but they're not doing a Bitcoin podcast or working in Bitcoin or earning in Bitcoin. I'm hopeful these are the sorts of conversations we have that lead them down that path eventually, but we'll see, man. Hey, tell me a little bit more about, so on your website, you've got some other things that you're doing. So the ads to me are, that's the most exciting, because I think that's just very public, but I know that there are some more personal ways that people can be affected by your work. So it's, correct me if any of this is inaccurate. It sounds to me like you're trying to also find ways to help match people up with Bitcoin jobs, because obviously it's very competitive working in the Bitcoin space. And then helping early stage Bitcoin startups find people who are maybe not willing to work for, or maybe would like to work for pay, but are willing to work as volunteers, so they have some of these resources, these tools at their disposal to get off the ground, hopefully without a bunch of VC funding, and then now new incentives enter the equation. What are you doing there? And was I wrong about any of what I've just described?
No, you described it correctly. So yeah, it's called our Guild program. And Dan Sherman, so he goes by Hodling J on X. He's the author of The Gospel According to Bitcoin. He leads the Guild program. And the idea there is, yes, it's very competitive to get into full-time Bitcoin work for a Bitcoin company. So the idea is, come help us as an organization, as a nonprofit, build your portfolio, you know, put in the proof of work, hopefully build your network as well, as, you know, you're working with different people in the Bitcoin space on a volunteer basis. And then eventually, yeah, connect you with people within our network to hopefully work full time in Bitcoin. And I would say, like, we really pushed this initiative hard a year or two ago. We kind of scaled back and focused more on the ads and the Learn directory recently. But we're getting a lot of interest. Like, people are submitting forms on bitcoinisbetter.org for the Guild. So so Dan is like reigniting that program to really put in more effort to bring more people into the Bitcoin ecosystem. But I would say, like, the last few years, I don't think that there's going to be enough Bitcoin jobs to go around for Bitcoin people. I mean, there's also like something to, you know, working your fiat job and converting that to Bitcoin. Like, it's still working for Bitcoin if you're earning Bitcoin, because unlike the fiat banking system, I don't think that there's going to be as much overhead in the Bitcoin economy. Right. It flourishes. There's not going to be as much financialization. But I still think that it is a great opportunity to network, to build your portfolio. And then, like I said, proof of work will kind of rise the cream to the top. And then hopefully, you know, those connections will pay off, and then also help our organization get your work out in front of more eyeballs. And like I said, on a volunteer basis, we'll take all the help that we can get.
I think that's fantastic. You know, I'll say, as someone who has been involved, first of all, I have people ask me from time to time, like, hey, how do you get a job in Bitcoin? Because I have one. And I have to be completely honest. I got really lucky. I was a client of the Bitcoin Way. And so the lines of communication were already open with them. I was going through like the self-custody setup process when they were looking to hire someone with my experience and knowledge. And so it just sort of worked out. So I don't have any real tangible, you know, no personal story to tell. However, I've been fortunate to be involved in some of the hiring that we do. And one of the things that, at least for a company like ours, where we are very hardcore, uncompromising, Bitcoin only, toxic maxis, that sort of thing, people who are willing to trade some of their time in exchange for that experience, that proof of work, a better resume within Bitcoin, that means a lot. And then I would also just add some free advice for anyone. If you send exactly what we ask for, like, hey, we want a resume and answer these questions or whatever, and you send a resume and answer those questions, might work out well for you, because that's what we're asking for. If you do that and then you also go above and beyond and you send a video, you send examples of the work that you've done, you reference something that you did for Bitcoin is Better, for example, and how you connected with them and spent, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 hours a week doing work that you didn't have to be doing, but it was because you are on this mission with us, it goes a long way. So I love that. What sort of work? So if I was looking to bolster my resume, if I was looking for an opportunity to work for Bitcoin is Better, what sort of, because I think there will be people who are interested, what sort of work is useful to you right now? And who would you accept into that program?
Yeah. So right now our immediate need is video editors, graphic designers, also programming. We've got a few things with our apps or with our website that we're wanting to build out. So those are the top three that come to mind. But really, if you've got a vision for how to grow Bitcoin adoption within the middle class, I'm open to new ideas as well. And our board is as well. So I want it to be a big tent, basically, a big tent to grow Bitcoin adoption. But yeah, I'd say out the gate, video editing, if you put together AI videos for, you know, Bitcoin content, then yeah, that would be a good place to start.
I think that's a great call to action, because some of the videos, I didn't watch all of them, but some of the ads that you guys put together, I thought looked really good. I like the, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, George Washington one. I thought it was cool. I know that there are really talented people, or even people who are maybe not designers themselves or videographers or anything like that, but they're really good with AI. They've got a creative lens by which they view the world, who could produce sort of a next level of content for you guys very quickly. And at least your portfolio of the content that you're offering for people to vote on and to send sats in on could grow exponentially. So if you're one of those people listening, if you can create an awesome 30, 60 second AI ad or not an AI ad, right? Make it fully authentic. I think those are people that would benefit immensely. And I think you guys would see the fruits of that labor as well.
100%.
What's your take on scaling Bitcoin is Better? So as you think about your very, you know, it's sort of a recent post-launch that we're discussing this, how do we get from what you're doing now, a handful of ads that you guys have generated, to an ad in the Super Bowl, for example, is maybe sort of the pinnacle of advertising, Nirvana. What do you think needs to happen between now and then?
I think our ads need to be better. So hopefully we can level up our ads and our storytelling. I think after we get the first ad running on, you know, normie airways and we start to get some metrics in for number of learners per ad dollars, I think that those metrics will help. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to Bitcoiners, because there is a lot of, I don't know the right word to define it, but basically if you go on like Geyser Fund, a lot of great projects never get funded. So a big hesitation with the Bitcoin is better approach is, will Bitcoiners donate? Will they actually support this? Like Bitcoiners will go to, you know, multiple conferences per year, spend millions of sats to go and hear, you know, the same speeches by the same speakers multiple times. And I mean, there's networking opportunities there, and, you know, there's benefits to going to conferences. But that's a question I've been wrestling with, is like, why do most Geyser funds fail? And can we come together as a community and get behind this idea of giving back to people who, you know, haven't experienced Bitcoin yet, like giving Bitcoin to people because Bitcoin has improved our lives so much. So it's an optimistic experiment. Like in my mind, like best case scenario is we have a Super Bowl ad. It's fully scaled up. We've got this beautiful Learn directory that's curated with, you know, a one-stop shop that we can send friends and family to when they're curious and ready to start learning about Bitcoin. But worst case scenario is, okay, we've got these ads, we've got a you know, modest Learn directory that's still a helpful resource for the Bitcoin community, but maybe donations didn't come in the way we thought they would, and we didn't get out on the airwaves like we thought we could, but we still come together, like we came together as a, you know, 12-person volunteer board and put together this helpful resource for the community. So it's an optimistic experiment. I hope it scales up. I hope that we're able to get, you know, thousands, millions of learners, whatnot. That would be amazing. But if not, like, we're going to still give it our best. So it's really, it's an experiment. And I don't know if it's going to be crowdfunding, you know, plebs zapping sats to their favorite ads, or if it's going to be, you know, getting a few whales and then hooking them up with a production team, and then we get the ads out. So yeah, I guess I don't know. That's a long way of saying I don't know, Michael.
I think it's a fair answer. My only request of you as you look at going to Wales is that you're cautious about, because I think there's value to centralization when it comes to something like this, because people can get behind the vision of what you're doing and say, okay, I like this guy, I like what they're doing, I like the message they're sending, I'm going to invest in this, I'm going to send some sats, you know, I'm going to vote on an ad. It's very easy, I think, at times when you start to get someone who says, hey, I've got, you know, I hold 1,000 Bitcoin or 10,000 Bitcoin, and yeah, I'll fund this, but like, this is what I want the message to be. And it in some way deviates from the real intent, but it's like, hey, this could be our Super Bowl ad. Okay, but is it just another Coinbase Super Bowl ad? That's not what we're going for. But if they fund it and they put all their support behind it, there is the opportunity for a whale to make their own sort of, to make waves, you know, pun intended.
Or make waves, yeah.
And to, I don't know, maybe to potentially dilute really the message that I think you are here to send. Are there any, I don't know, checks and balances on that where you say, hey, this was not like, do you vet the ads yourself, or does your team vet the ads before they go up? Will that continue as you have hopefully more funding come in, because you want to make sure that we're not just, we don't have one whale who's massively funding some generic crypto ad or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Cause one of our original ideas was just to set up our website where somebody could upload their video and it automatically went to the, you know, raise ads.
Dangerous.
That's dangerous. After talking that through as a board, we were like, no, we better have a curation process. So yeah, 100% has to get a majority vote from the board to be put up on our ads platform. And then it's a non-negotiable that we send traffic to bitcoinisbetter.org, which is a Learn directory that's also curated by our board to be Bitcoin only and to be helpful. Yeah.
So that was the other thing I wanted to ask you about, is the where you direct people. So let's say we get our Super Bowl ad going and we have millions of eyeballs on Bitcoin is Better. learning about Bitcoin, and they are being funneled somewhere to your website, presumably. And I think it really matters a lot what the first thing they see, what their first touch point is on that website. Obviously, and you know, I hope people see the Bitcoin Ways spot as, you know, great, but more importantly, those people are in a position, they're not thinking about self-custody because they don't even know what self-custody is. They're thinking that ad, something about that ad resonated with me. What do I not understand? What do I not know? What is Bitcoin? And like, what do you view the future of that landing page or whatever their first interaction with the website to be? In because just imagine a world where you have a Super Bowl ad. That needs to be an incredibly important bit of information that you're sharing when they get directed to that site. What do you think that needs to be, and what's sort of your vision for where you're headed with it?
Yeah, so that's where the guild comes in. We're hoping that a web developer can come and help us to optimize that welcome. Mm-hmm. Right now we just have two buttons up. It's learn about Bitcoin or watch the TV ads. So which way do you want to go? And then we've got it kind of structured by books, podcasts, and businesses, each one broken down into their different category. But yeah, I mean, in my mind, it would be a friendly face welcoming them to bitcoinisbetter.org, and then make it interactive, like, you know, which ad connected with you. Here's the top three things that you may not know about Bitcoin, but you should know, like, and then you click and work through. But yeah, that's the good thing about starting small. Like, we're starting small, and hopefully, like, over time, we'll learn and optimize before we get on the big stage. And, right. Have that responsibility to optimize that onboarding process.
Yeah. I have to imagine you've got 5 or 10 people who will hear this, who will listen to this podcast, who say, I can contribute to that. I can help make that good. The thing, it takes a village though, right? Because yeah, you need software engineers, you need web developers, but you need really good designers. It needs to look clean. You need, and the hardest part is, what is the content? What is the message, right? I've presented to 2 or 3 churches now trying to get them to adopt a Bitcoin treasury. And each time I do the presentation, and like slide deck and all, and I think, is this the best way that I can present this to them? Am I overwhelming them? Do I sound like a crazy person? Is this logical? You know, like I'm just guessing. And there are certainly resources that do it much better than I could. And I don't know, maybe you should team up with someone like Joe Bryan from Sats versus Fiat. You know, he did the What's the Problem video, yeah. Something like that. If we could, like, I think 40 minutes is a little bit long, but an abbreviated version of something like that, I think it'd be incredibly impactful for people. But I don't have the answer. Well, like, it requires someone who is way smarter, or at least way more thoughtful than I am, who can explain this stuff simply. It isn't me. Otherwise, I'd volunteer and help you, man.
Yeah, and that goes back to the Bitcoin Marketing Association. So the guy that leads that, his name is Randy, and that's his specialty. He's done paid media for 25 years, especially in like regulated environments. And his vision for the Bitcoin Marketing Association is figuring out what messaging works for converting someone from no coiner to a Bitcoiner. Mm-hmm. So he's going to look at that data and try to figure out what works for certain audiences, like what clicks for them, Bitcoin is better, and how do you frame it? How do you say it? So that's not my specialty, but thankfully, you know, Randy's come into the picture with what they're doing at the Bitcoin Marketing Association, and his idea is to share that data with different Bitcoin companies who have a marketing advertising budget, and you know, want to know what messages are working with their future customers. So it's a really cool nonprofit model he has going as well.
That's fantastic. You need to connect me with him, because I'd like that for my own personal benefit. I don't want to walk into another church or to my local farmer's market without being armed with something better than what I've done before. I'm 2 for 2 on the churches, but I think it's more because I've offered to help seed their treasury, not because I just made such a compelling case for Bitcoin. I think they're like, hey, this guy wants to give us something. Like, I guess we could accept it. We'd be idiots if we didn't. So
well, I love that.
I love that. So the last thing I wanted to talk with you about as we head for home here is a topic we talk a lot about on the podcast. It just comes up in just about everything these days, is AI. So you, talking with Adam, I understand you guys used AI for a lot of the development of what you've done so far. I would love to know your, tell us a little bit about your background. Cause I know you've got some other, work that you do in the, outside of Bitcoin is better that I think is related to some of this stuff and maybe has enabled you to better leverage AI tools. How did this all come together and what was AI's role in it?
Yeah. So a little background on myself. I'm an industrial engineer. I started my career building databases and reporting for Fortune 100 companies, including the big banks. So Bank of America, Wells Fargo, I was a contractor. That was before my Bitcoin days. So I became a full-time entrepreneur in 2018. I did a bunch of different businesses, but ultimately I landed on, I'm a Microsoft certified Excel expert. So I did consulting for about 6 months where I would come in and help these small, medium-sized businesses with their spreadsheet nightmares, you know, add some VBA, some app script to their Google script, you know, some buttons, make it better. And then I had one client about a year and a half ago who asked me to build a custom web app for them instead of a spreadsheet. I was like, okay, sure, I'll take a shot. You know, I was certified in Python back in 2019. So maybe it's like riding a bike, you know, we'll take a shot at it. And then I discovered these like AI, you know, app building tools, and it's been off to the races since then. So I've transitioned from SheetSignal, where I was a Microsoft certified Excel expert, to now I run an agency called Express Apps Agency. And we help our clients escape spreadsheets. So we build AI empowered apps. And yeah, it's really amazing, like how that technology has come along. So that, and then recently launched something called the AICardInstitute.org. And the idea behind the AI Card Institute is to measure your workforce and how AI ready they are, to identify your AI champions and basically find the critical gaps in their understanding, and measure it. And then we offer a training, so customized training based on the test results. And then also we can come in and build systems if that's the best route, or the business owner can just take the strategy report and their CEO report and all that information and do it themselves. But I think that the biggest problem in small business right now, with medium-sized business with AI, is like you buy all your employees a ChatGPT subscription and you think, okay, I checked the box on AI, but you don't want to get comfortable in that position. Like, that's like buying everyone a gym membership and then expecting all of your employees to be healthy just because you bought the gym membership.
Right.
So it's really important to measure where you're at. And I think that, you know, we can help a lot of small, medium-sized businesses compete with the big guys, because I saw working for some of these big corporations, I mean, they're putting, you know, teams together, huge teams, to just build projects that now, you know, AI can help a smaller, medium-sized business build with like 90% less costs, but still get like similar results. So I view AI, both AI and Bitcoin, as like leveling the playing field. And I think that we really need to lean into that technology. So that's where I devote my my 9 to 5, you know, daytime effort is helping small, medium-sized business do that.
Interesting. So I've sort of had this assumption. This is not a thesis or anything. I have no idea what's really going to play out, but I've had this assumption that there's going to come a day here in the very near future when you onboard, you're hired by a company, you onboard, and part of the onboarding process is, hey, here's your PC and here's your Mac Mini that's all set up for you to, it'll query Salesforce or, you know, your CRM, it'll answer questions, write emails, do all this stuff. And you sort of have access to your own customized personal AI bot that can help you automate all of your work. Maybe dial the phone for you, and your job is just to talk to the customer, talk to the prospect, or whatever, you know, job that you're working in. Do you think, this is just a matter of curiosity, do you think that is what's going to happen, or do you think it's going to be more of a simple setup like you describe? Everyone gets a ChatGPT subscription. And it's, you know, maybe enterprise level, so there's some amount of privacy, if you believe, you know, Sam Altman. What do you think the future of small business in their use of AI is, at least over the next couple of years? 10 years from now, I don't think either of us probably have any concept of how crazy it could get.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're slowly transitioning out of AI chat into AI agents. So the easiest way to break down the difference between the two is AI chat is you have a question, AI gives you an answer better than Google can give you an answer.
Yeah.
AI agents, it's you give the agent a task and then the goal of that task and it completes it, you know, from start to finish. I'm similar to your vision. I think within 2 years, it's going to be competitive in the workforce, you're going to have to work alongside an agent, as the curator, as the skill creator for the AI agent. And that's where I'm leaning heavy right now is with, AI agent skills. So actually going in and doing a process from start to finish with an AI chat. And then at the end of that AI chat, it's like, okay, we got this process where it needed to be. We worked out all the hiccups, create a skill for my agent. And then that the AI agent will create the skill for you. And then the agent can run off and do it on its own. But yeah, I don't know if it's going to be more open source, like, you know, OpenClaw or Claude just launched managed agents this past week. So I don't know. Anytime you approach a business with open source, there's security vulnerabilities. There's a lot more things you have to do versus Claude's got their, policy, their, large organization, security measures behind this product. So I would lean, I don't know. I think probably OpenClaw is going to be more niche, at least in the beginning. And I think the Claudes and the OpenAIs and stuff will probably capture most of the small business. But I think that there's a place for both. And I think that open source keeps the big guys honest as well, more honest.
Okay, interesting. So I'm curious if you're willing to share if you have your own agent that you're running and what your setup looks like.
That's probably best for another
okay. we could go deep down that rabbit hole. Yeah, all right, man,
let's do an AI pod next time we get together.
I try to keep it Bitcoin focused. At the same time, there's a lot of interdependency on the agents are going to use Bitcoin, I believe. And I talked with Dave Birnbaum about this recently and we had a great chat. It's a really good reason to be bullish, but I think people are interested. They're trying to figure out, what does this mean for my career? What should I be learning, studying? What skills do I need to work alongside of an agent, to outcompete an agent? They just have no idea where to even begin. And I kind of feel the same way. I've got my own setup and it's so far from what it probably could or should be, but I'm learning. I'm just scratching the surface. So,
and I would just say too, like the last 6 months has, I think, been a foreshadowing of what it's going to be like with Bitcoin one day, because we're all seeing like AI in action. And if you don't use it, you get left behind. We haven't really seen that with the Bitcoin adoption wave quite yet, where people are looking at, if I don't adopt the Bitcoin treasury for my business, I'm going to get left behind. How do I do this? Because my competitors are getting ahead. So I think eventually like AI is going first, but I think we're going to experience something similar with Bitcoin, where people unfortunately have that fear of missing out and it drives curiosity. Because the idea with Bitcoin is better is, you know, people can have that desire for education out of curiosity or out of pain. And we're trying to like spark it with curiosity before the pain really kicks in. Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see what percentage of people react to curiosity versus pain and fear of missing out.
Yeah. You're never too late to Bitcoin, but you might be so late that you just don't get a whole lot of it without having to go figure out new skills and earn it, I think is where we're headed, probably much sooner than most people can imagine. So, okay, man, let's end on this final question. I warned you in advance, what is an unpopular opinion you have? You get bonus points if you offend some Bitcoiners with it.
All right. So I'm going to use scripture for this one. So 2 Timothy 3:7. They were always learning, but never coming to knowledge of the truth. And I think in Bitcoin, we can almost become selfish by going down the rabbit hole too deeply without coming up to people who haven't even entered the rabbit hole yet and explaining it in simple terms. So I think an unpopular opinion that I hold is whether it's conferences, podcasts, like all these different ways that we just dive so deep into all this theoretical future on a Bitcoin standard or with AI, instead of diving so deep and almost becoming like selfish in our intellectual pursuit, like my opinion is we should come back up, maybe not go so deep, but like come back up and bring other people into the better system.
I think that's a good one. I'll tell you for myself, of the first 2 years of my journey, I was listening to multiple hours of Bitcoin podcasts a day. And to be fair, at the time, I didn't understand it real well. It wasn't as self-indulgent. I just didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of consumption. And lately I've been, like I said, trying to orange pill my church, another church here in town. And I think maybe more important for my sanity, I've really unwound from listening to a lot of Bitcoin podcasts, and I've dug into some other podcasts, other topics of interest, and things that I think round me out a bit better as a human. So my only knowledge set isn't that we need Bitcoin and that everyone needs Bitcoin. And I also think that some of what I've explored has actually helped me explain Bitcoin better. Mm-hmm. Because I've learned, I've gone down sort of the history, Revolutionary War rabbit hole, a lot of those things. And it sort of reinforces my desire to promote Bitcoin, because I realize how far we've gone. And I think a lot of people have done that too, very effectively in the health space and, you know, in whatever their topics of interest are. And it's refreshing, I think, at times to have those sorts of conversations and to, yeah, take a little bit of a breath from the same old stuff. But again, I think it's a balancing act, right? Like, mm-hmm. Life is not Bitcoin. But Bitcoin is a very important thing that I'm grateful that you're investing your time in. And hopefully people are going to, hopefully what you're doing is going to end up reaching millions of people for the better. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time, man. Why don't you tell people where they can find you? Shill anything. You've got a lot of stuff going on. So tell them where they can follow you, find you, look up more about Bitcoin is Better, anything.
Yeah. And thank you. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Michael. And I love what you guys are doing at the Bitcoin Way. You're one of the good guys in the space, and there's such mission alignment, you know, between our organizations. So really, really happy to have this chat today, and hopefully it's the first of many. So yeah, as far as shilling, I mean, I'd just say I'm on X, so at DC Hirsch, DCHERSH. That's where I spend, you know, most of my social media time. So my DMs are open if you want to reach out to me about the organization. And also our website, bitcoinisbetter.org. If some of the things that we were talking about, things that we need from our volunteer base, connect with you and you want to contribute and help us grow middle class adoption of Bitcoin, please reach out through our guild program. And yeah, we'll be happy to meet with you. It'll be either myself or Dan Sherman.
Perfect. And to our listeners, please, let's help these guys get off the ground. I think what you guys are doing is incredibly important work. Daniel, it's been a pleasure, a lot of fun. I hope we get to do this again sometime, and best of luck with all that you're working on, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
And that's a wrap again. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Daniel. I know I did. Go check out Bitcoin is Better. Send him some sats. Vote on one of these ads. It's such a great way to support Bitcoiners who are doing the right thing, doing very important work. Of course, if you need help taking your Bitcoin into proper 100% self-custody, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. You can schedule a free 30-minute introductory call with a member of our team. We can also help you with protecting your online privacy, setting up a privacy phone. We even have a very, very popular Plan B residency option in freedom-loving Panama. Again, it's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'll walk you through what we do. This is for people who are serious about their self-sovereignty. Do me a favor, if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, give us a like, comment, share it with someone who you think might be interested in it. We'd really appreciate that. And until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.